Shri Havir Uvacha Sarva Bhuteshu Yapashyat Bhagavad Bhavamatmanaha Bhutani Bhagavat Yatmani Esha Bhagavatottamaha. So, this is Navi Yogendra's speaking to Maharaj Nimi. Shri Havir said, the most advanced devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated within the Lord. Purport, in Bhagavad Gita 6:30, the Lord says, Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachemina pranashyati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I'm never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. End of quote. Srila Prabhupada comments, a person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere, and he sees everything in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature, but in each and every instance, he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. The qualification for seeing Krishna everywhere is stated in the Brahma Samhita 538. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achinta guna swarupam govinda mari purusham tamaham bhajami. Quote, I worship primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyam Sundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. End of quote. A devotee of the highest level of spiritual qualification is glorified for the expansiveness of his spiritual vision. For example, when the stalwart demon, Hiranyakashipu, questioned his self-realized son, Prahlad Maharaj, as to the whereabouts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad, being a Mahabhagavat or pure devotee, answered straightforwardly that the Supreme Lord is everywhere. The demoniac father then asked if God was in the pillar of the palace. When Prahlad answered yes, Hiranyakashipu, being a bona fide demon, struck the pillar with his sword, trying to kill God, or at least disprove his existence. Then Lord Nrisimhadev, the most ferocious form of the Supreme Lord, immediately appeared and finished forever the illicit program of Hiranyakashipu. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj can be accepted as an Uttama Adhikari devotee. A pure devotee is completely free from the tendency to enjoy things separately from the Lord's service. He does not see anything in the universe as unfavorable because he sees everything as the expanded potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee's purpose in existing is to give pleasure somehow or other to the Supreme Lord. Thus, everything that a pure devotee experiences moment by moment increases his ecstatic loving desire to satisfy the transcendental senses of the Lord. A Mahabhagavat, being empowered by the Supreme Lord Yogeshwar, is endowed with the supernatural power to inspire and give success to the Madhyama Adhikari, who follows in his footsteps, and to elevate a Kanishta Adhikari gradually to the intermediate platform. Such devotional power springs automatically from the ocean of mercy drawn within the heart of the pure devotee. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that a Mahabhagavat has no desire to inflict punishment on the enemies of the Lord. Rather, he engages the Madhyama Adhikaris and Kanishta Adhikaris in preaching work to purify the polluted mentality of the inimical souls who are falsely imagining the material world to be separate from Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out in his commentary, Atra pasya iti tata darshana yo yataiva vichakshita na tu tata darshanasya sarva kalikalta. Quote, in this word, verse, the word pashyat, quote, or one must see, does not mean that at every moment one is visualizing the form of Krishna. Rather, it means that one has reached the exalted platform of devotional service on which he is fit to see or is capable of seeing Krishna's form. End of quote. If only those who constantly see the form of Krishna to be considered uttama adhikaris, then Narada, Vyasa, and Sukadeva cannot be considered topmost devotees, since they do not always see the Lord everywhere. Of course, Narada, Vyasa, and Sukadeva are considered to be on the highest standard of pure devotional service, and therefore the real qualification is tad-didikshadikya, or having an overwhelming desire to see the Lord. Therefore, the statement of Bhagavad Gita that a devotee should see Krishna everywhere, yomam pashyati sarvatra, can be understood in terms of the example of a lusty man's thinking that the world is full of beautiful women. Similarly, one should become transcendentally so desirous of seeing the Lord that one can perceive within the entire universe nothing but Krishna and his potency. Gurave Guru Chandraya Radhikayai Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. So, this is a very important subject matter. Maharaj Nimi inquired in the previous verse that, please tell me about the devotees of the Lord. How can I recognize them? How can we recognize a devotee? Sometimes this verse is mixed with some other verses that speak about the uttama adhikari, and the two things are being mixed together. But actually this is speaking about the Bhagavat uttama, or a devotee who's not necessarily having a qualification for bhakti, adhikar, but a devotee who has bhakti. And these two things are different. And we all want to have uttama adhikar, or the eligibility, the topmost eligibility for bhakti, but it doesn't mean that we're situated on the platform of uttama adhikar, that we have the topmost qualification. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu is described as Sanatana Goswami, Shradavan jan hoy bhakti adhikari uttama madhima kanisha shraddha anusari. That you can understand, Prabhupada translates this, a faithful devotee is a truly eligible candidate for the loving service of the Lord. He's an eligible candidate. He has some eligibility. According to their faith, shraddha anusari, one is classified as a topmost devotee, an intermediate devotee, or an inferior devotee. So, in this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita, a topmost devotee is described as Shastra Yukte Sunipuna Dhrita Shraddha Jnana Uttama Adhikari Se Tariye Samsara. Someone who is expert in logic, argument, and revealed scriptures and has firm faith in Krishna is classified as a topmost devotee. He can deliver the whole world. In this regard, Kaviraj Goswami quotes Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Shastra Yukto Chanipuna Sarvatad Vinishayaha Proda Shraddho Dikariya Sabhakta Uttamo Mataha. One who is expert in logic and understanding the revealed scriptures, and who always has firm conviction and deep faith that is not blind, is to be considered a topmost devotee in devotional service. So, again, we can divide these things into other further categories. There's persons who have qualification, adhikar, for Raghunuga Bhakti and for Vaidhi Bhakti. And this description found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is a description of someone who has qualification for Vaidhi Bhakti. Shastra Yukto Chanipuna. He's very, very expert in Shastra. We should recognize, we should respect anyone who has that quality as an uttama adhikari, at least in terms of Vaidhi Bhakti. We should respect that because we should respect the Shastra. It doesn't mean, though, that they're a Bhagavat Pradhan, that they've realized the Supreme Absolute Truth. It means that they're expert in Shastra And because of that understanding, they have Sarvatha Dhrinishchaya. They're very, very convinced. They have Proto Shraddha. They have very deep faith. So because of that, as is pointed out here in the purport, they have the ability to inspire the Madhyama Adhikaris and the Kanishtha Adhikaris, because their level of faith is less than that. The Madhyama Adhikari has Dhrinishchaya. He's also affects the same word is used for both the Madhyama and for the Uttam. He has Dhrita Shraddha. He has some firm faith, but it's not based on Shastra. And the Kanishtha Adhikari has Komala Shraddha. He has very, very weak faith. So Srila Prabhupada, he's described in one lecture that it's very, very important. We must distinguish between these three types of devotees. He said in Mayapur in 1977, a small child can become a Mahabhagavat, and a very learned scholar may become a demon. So not just by the externals can we judge someone. He says we must distinguish between different types of devotees. Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Mahabhagavat, Uttama Adhikari. We must distinguish between them. But how do we tell who's who and what's what? Ourselves, we require some qualification to be able to ascertain that thing. And that's also described in the purport. I didn't read all the section, but it's quite a long purport. He says that a Kanishtha Adhikari, he's attracted to a guru who's expert in performing ceremonies and worshiping the deity, because he has some faith in that. He has some faith in worshiping the deity, but he doesn't have faith in the devotees. So he takes a particular type of guru. So we can't see who's a devotee. This is the first point that we should understand. It's described that Vaishnava Chinite Nai Devaita Shakati. Even the demigods, they can't see who's a devotee. And how powerful are they and how powerful are we? Indra can perceive everything in the universe. Vayu can perceive anywhere there's air. Suryadev can perceive anywhere the sunshine is shining. They're so very, very powerful, but they don't have the ability to see who's a Vaishnava. And they're more learned than us, far, far more learned than Shastra. But they can't see who's a Vaishnava and who's not a Vaishnava. But at the same time, the Shastra is giving so many descriptions about Kanishtha, Madhyama, and Uttam, and how to understand who's who. In the Upadeshamrita, Rupa Goswami, he's described Krishneti Yashagiri Tvam Manasa Dvijeta. That anyone who chants Hare Krishna, you should respect them. Well, how do you know if they're a devotee? So we started describing this the other day. Someone may put on some disguise and join the Hare Krishnas. So why should I respect such a person? And some people say like this. Some devotees say, no, they're bogus. We shouldn't respect them. But Rupa Goswami is saying, no, you must respect them. At least in your mind. Manasadriyata. Because they're chanting Hare Krishna. You're respecting the quality of what they're doing. If someone who's Shastra Nipuna, who's very expert in Shastra, we respect that because of the quality of Shastra. If Shastra's coming out their mouth, we should respect that. If someone's chanting Hare Krishna, we should respect that because we're respecting the holy name. But then we see that Dikshashti Chepranati Bishchava Jantanisha, that someone who's taken Diksha, who's initiated, that person, we give even more respect. And it's described, as we were reading the other day, Diksha Kali Bhakta Kori Atma Samarpan Sei Kali Krishna Tari Kori Atma Sam. That at the time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders unto the Lord, then Krishna accepts him to be as good as himself. So, that person who's received initiation, they've gotten that mantra, and they're as good as Krishna. They're worshiping Krishna. They're touching the deity. We should respect them. We may go to Puri, and you may see some pandit eating fish, but we should respect them. Dikshashti chet pranati bishchava jantanisham. because they have initiation, they have this mantra, and because Bhajanta Nisha, they're engaged in service in the Lord. We're respecting that quality. But if we see in them, even though they have those qualities, that they're Nachad Bhakteshu Chanyeshu, they're not offering respect to the devotees, then we consider them to be a Prakrita Bhakta, as we'll read later on in this section of the Bhagavatam. And for the Madhyama Adhikari, he sees if they're envious like that, then Upeksha, he must neglect them. He avoids their association. So this is a Madhyam. And then the Rupa Goswami describes an Uttam, that Nandari Shunya Hidamitsita Sangya Labhya. Their heart is completely free from the propensity to criticize others. And their bhajan, vidyam ananyananya, they're very expert in performing bhajan. So, how do we know? What does that mean? How do we know the quality of their heart? You can't see their heart. But we can see, oh, they know how to worship the Lord very nicely. They know how to do arti, they know how to install the deity, they know how to give class, they know how to lead kirtan. They're expert in these activities, so we respect that. Because we're Bahir Mukjanas. We should respect those activities. And then Dadi Srinirinitsita Sangalabhya, we want the association and service of that person who doesn't criticize others. Well, how do we know their heart is really free from the propensity to criticize others? We don't know. But if we associate with them and we see they never speak anything bad about someone else, then that's good association. Even if perhaps in their heart they have the propensity to criticize others, if it's not coming out of their mouth, then I can associate with that person. It's not going to be poisonous for me. I'm not going to destroy my spiritual life by having their association. So we can't see these external things. But we must associate with more advanced devotees. Prabhupada says in one lecture in Vrindavan in 1972, he said, so any devotee can fall down if he remains a Prakrita Bhakta. If you're offering respect to Krishna, you're worshipping Krishna. Ishwari Taradinishu. Excuse me, that you're Archayam Eva Hadaye. You have some respect, you're worshipping the Lord. You have some faith in that thing. But you don't have faith in worshipping the devotee. So Prabhupada says he can fall down. So he has to raise himself above this in the Madhyamadhikari. He says, my Guru Maharaj used to say that licking the outside bottle of the honey, that's not real honey. You have to open the bottle of honey and you have to lick the real honey. Then you'll get a taste. That is advancement of spiritual knowledge. Satam prasangam mama virjavasamvido bhavanti ritkarna rishayana kata. He says, therefore, we do not associate with advanced devotees, uttama adhikari. If we simply want to remain in the lowest stage of devotional service, then we are not making progress. We must associate with devotees like that. But in one place, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that it's very dangerous to do that. We're afraid to associate with advanced devotees who can see our heart. Because sadhu, he said that sadhu is one who gets us to speak out what's in our heart. And then when we speak out what's in our heart, then the sadhu applies the knife. And he puts that person on the block, and with a raised knife in the form of these unpleasant words, he cuts those different things. So sadhu can see that. And such a person that we have faith in, he can help us. If we don't have faith in that person, they can't help us. So how do we know who to have faith in and who not to have faith in? Well, we're external persons. We're Bahir Mukjanas. But we can see some things externally. And we should gravitate toward those things. As someone who's not criticizing others, someone who's expert in Shastra, someone who's expert in Bhajan, those are the association that we want to have. It still doesn't mean that we have to accept that person as our spiritual authority. However, my Guru Maharaj, he said like that, that we have a right to reserve who we want to associate with and who we're going to accept as our authority or not accept. And that's a question of the heart. And therefore, cheto darpana marjanam, we were describing the other day, we have to purify our heart. Because otherwise we can't see. We can't see anyone. But Krishna, he'll speak to us in the heart. And if we're crying sincerely, then Krishna will whisper, go to this person. And we'll have some faith in them. Our heart is going to whisper to us to go to some person no matter what. But if it's a dirty heart, then we may be attracted to some nonsense person. Kanishtha Adhikari, he wants to associate with someone who's expert in worship, but doesn't disturb him. He's not going to chastise him. And someone who's a little materialistic like himself. He likes that kind of guru. Someone who wants to tell him about getting money. Someone who's very expert in getting money. Who's expert in sex life. Yes, you accept me as a guru and you can get this kind of thing. So Kanishtha Bhakta wants someone like that. So we should understand what is the sequence, what is the development of qualification, eligibility for bhakti. Thakur Bhakti Vinod, he's described this in his writings, which he called Bhakti Tattva Vivek. Shraddhalo bhatmakayasa vishvasarupini jada jayate tra tadabhakto nirmatra sharikarita. He says that when faith, shraddha, which is based either on the injunctions of the scriptures or greed to follow in the footsteps of Rogatmaka Bhakta, appears in the heart, then a person attains adhikar for pseudo bhakti. So all of these things are based on shraddha. When faith, shraddha, which is based either on faith and injunctions of the scriptures or greed to follow in the footsteps of Rogatmaka Bhakta, appears in the heart, a person attains adhikar for pseudo bhakti. So one of these two things, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes in his commentary on Sikshastika, the first verse, that there's two types of faith basically. There's Paramarthika Shraddha, or transcendental faith, and Lokik Shraddha, or common faith. And of Paramarthika Shraddha, he says there's two divisions again. Shashrata Avadanimai Shraddha, which means faith which is based on Shastra. And this leads to Vaidhi Bhakti. And there's Bhagavat Lila Madhurja Lobamoy Shraddha, which is faith which is based on hearing from a Rogatmaka Bhakta, from someone who has love of God. And hearing from that person gives one adhikar for Raghunuga Bhakti. Because both of them are based on some type of faith, but this faith that one has from hearing from a Rogatmaka Bhakta, that faith is endowed with some greed, some lobha. Bhagavat lobha, my shraddha. So that comes from hearing. He has faith that this thing is possible and it gives him some hope. Oh, and he becomes very, very excited in this way. So he must associate with such a devotee. But such a devotee is very, very difficult to see. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary on Upadeshamrita, he's described three types of Uttama Adhikaris. There's a Kanishta Uttam, a Madhyam Uttam, and an Uttam Uttam. This is a very, very big subject now. Fakimambu spoke for several months on this. And if we tried to speak on it, we would go on and on and on. I want to try to just give a little tiny drop of something today. These are three types of Siddha Mahapurushas who are pursuing the Bhakti Marg. They're known as Murtitakashai, Nidutakashai, and Bhagavat Lila Prapti. Bhagavat Parsha Deha Prapti, or Bhagavat Lila Prapti. The Murtitakashai, the word Murtita means some mental infatuation or delusion. They're an Uttama Adhikari. They have some qualification, but they're on the lowest step level. They're the Kanishta Uttam. These persons, there still remains some vasana, or some trace of desire and impressions, some sanskar in their heart, which is based on the material mode of goodness. So such persons, for them, their bhakti has some trace of material contamination. And so, but those material contamination remains dormant or unconscious. And as soon as there's some favorable opportunity, then Krishna causes their desire to be consumed and attracts them to his lotus feet. So as soon as there's some favorable opportunity, Krishna destroys that vasana, those material desires which still may remain in their heart, and attracts them to his lotus feet. So these are the Kanishtha stage of Uttam Bhagavats. And the examples given is Narad Muni. In his previous life, he's a son of a maidservant. He actually saw Krishna, but there's still some vasana, still some material impressions in his heart. He's such a great personality to see and hear the Lord, but some material impressions still remain in his heart. Higher than that is the intermediate or Madhyam class of Uttams. They're known as Nirduta Kashai. Nirduta means not destroyed. Nirduta Kashai, those persons who have given up all their material impurities, but they still reside in a gross material body made out of the five material elements. So Nirduta Kashai is described in one purport by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, where he says that such a person looks like they have some karma because they have a material body still. And he gives a very interesting example of a log of wood. If you take a log of wood and you put it in a fire and you burn the log completely, there's nothing left that can be burned in that log. But still, there's some ash that remains, and the form of the log is still there. If you touch it, then it falls into powder and nothing. But the form of the log remains. So that's like the Nirduta Kashai. They still have a material body. But don't mistake, there's nothing left within them. Their material body is not destroyed, but they've given up all their material bodies. There's no vasana, no sanskars within their heart. An example given of such a devotee is Sukadeva Goswami. He has a material body, but there's nothing contaminated in his heart whatsoever. And the Uttam Bhagavat is a Bhagavat Parshada Deha Prapti. Those are the persons who have attained their perfect spiritual bodies as eternal associates of the Lord. And examples given at Devarshi Narada, Narad Muni, after he's attained his spiritual form, his spiritual body. So he's an Uttam Uttam. So we want to associate with these three devotees. But how can we understand who they are? How can we get association with them? Sometimes we become discouraged and we think, oh, such persons are not present. And it's noted here in the purport. He speaks about Lord Nrisimhadev in Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu, he didn't have faith that Krishna was everywhere. Prahlad Maharaj had faith. And Nrisimhadev, Hiranyakashipu asked his son, so where is your God? Oh, Father, my God is everywhere. Is he in this column? Yes, Father, he's in this column. Then I'll kill him. And Hiranyakashipu took out his sword and went to strike the column, and he got a big surprise. Because the Lord is present everywhere. So we should understand that also there are pure devotees present everywhere. There's always devotees present in this material universe. If there were no pure devotees present, this universe couldn't go on. If there were no Uttama Adhikaris present, this universe would have no meaning. It's described by Krishna to Arjuna in the Padma Purana. Sansara Vaishnavadino, Deva Vaishnava Palita, Ahamcha Vaishnavadinas, Tasmat Shrestas Chavaishnavaha. He's speaking about the Shrestha Vaishnava, the Uttama Adhikari. And he says that these devotees are always present. And there's proof. We have proof that there's a Mahabhagavat, there's Uttama Adhikari devotees present right today on this planet. The proof is that the sun is shining. The proof is that we have air to breathe. The proof is that gravity is working. The proof is that there's water. The proof is that this universe exists. Sansara Vaishnava Adino. Because if the Vaishnava wasn't present, the universe would not be able to exist. Samsara Vaishnava Adino, it's dependent upon the presence of such a Vaishnava. Deva Vaishnava Palitaha. The demigods can't exist if there's not such a Vaishnava. Agnidev, fire, wouldn't exist. Vayu, air, wouldn't exist. None of these demigods would be able to exist or perform their functions if there was no such devotee present. Indeed, Krishna says that aham cha Vaishnava Adinas. I wouldn't exist. God wouldn't be able to exist if there was no Vaishnava. I'm also dependent upon them. Tasmat Shrestascha Vaishnava. Therefore, Vaishnavas are the topmost persons. So we should understand that those persons who say there's no Vaishnava present, they have the philosophy of Hiranyakashipu. They're demons. They don't believe that Krishna's present in the pillar, and they want to go and try to kill him because they want to establish themselves as supreme. Once one devotee, very senior devotee in our society, he told me in a very discouraging way, he said, Madhav Nanda, there's no pure devotees in our society. Maybe you heard me comment on this before. He said, there's none of the sannyasis chant 16 rounds. He said, I know. I was a sannyasi before and I never chanted 16 rounds. He said, none of them are bona fide. And I'm a very proud person. I did something probably I shouldn't have done, but I couldn't tolerate his comments. So I spoke up and I challenged him. And I said, no, I'm sorry, I can't accept that. I know at least one person who's qualified, who's bona fide in this society. And he said, yeah, who? And I said, you. And he took two steps back. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, if you can say that there's no such qualified person present, then you must be so elevated that you must be qualified. So we can be assured that there's at least one qualified person who's present. Mm-hmm. So people who say that there's no pure devotees present, indirectly they're giving you another message. Their message is that I'm a pure devotee. Listen to me. I can tell you who's who and what's what. I know who's a pure devotee. So that's a type of cheating, and that's the philosophy of Hiranyakashipu. Just like Hiranyakashipu wanted to be God. So Charjanam Vijanayan Naramanyatakarichit. The guru is not different from God. So if such a person wants to be guru, they want to be God. They want to tell us who's a devotee and who's not a devotee. But they can't tell you. Just in the same way that someone can't tell you who is your wife or who is your husband. That's up to you to decide. That's up to Krishna to decide. And Krishna sends us a spouse. So similarly, Krishna also sends us guru. We have to cry to Krishna for that. That's Krishna's department. ISKCON can't do that. The Gaudiya Math can't do it. The Babaji's can't do that. No devotee can give you guru. Krishna may use someone as an instrument to give you guru, but it's not the responsibility of ISKCON to tell you who's a guru and who's not. It's the responsibility of the society to have us read Srila Prabhupada's books, to have us realize that I want to associate with an uttam. It's the responsibility of the society to preach what is an uttam and how we should want association like that. But we can't depend on the society to give us that thing. What is a society? Society is not a person. Society is a thing. We have to depend on Krishna for that. And we serve the society, as Prabhupada said, the Sangha. Prabhupada said sometimes that I'm not different from ISKCON. But Prabhupada also said, I'm not, Prabhupada said, ISKCON is my body. But he also said, I'm not this body. And Prabhupada said, sometimes the body is like a car. So if you go to Mayapur and you see Prabhupada's Samadhi, there's Prabhupada's car there also. And the devotees, they worship that car. They polish it. Sometimes someone may come and offer artik to it. But will you go and ask the car, my dear car, should I get married or should I take sannyas? My dear car, what service should I do? Where should I live? Will the car give you an answer? So similarly, the society, this institution, which is like Prabhupada's body, which is like a car, is also a thing. It's like a car. It's something that we serve and we may worship, just like we worship that car of Srila Prabhupada. But we're foolish if we depend on it and go ask questions to it and take shelter of it in that way. We have to take shelter of Krishna. There's no getting around this thing. There's no shortcut. We want to have a magic carpet ride where we don't have to do anything in our spiritual life. We just come to Guru and now Guru does everything for me. Mm-hmm. And even how do I find Guru? I just ask my friend, who's a good Guru? Oh, you have this person, you have this Swami as a Guru. Oh, then I'll also take that person. Because we're manmurabhav. We have no brain. We're brain dead. Mm-hmm. We just want to depend on someone else. We don't realize that we have to also make some endeavor. We can't see who's guru and who's not, who's sadhu and who's not. Therefore, we have to cry to Krishna. But we have to make that much endeavor. But we're so lazy, we don't even want to do that thing. We just want some system to take care of us, the institution to take care of us. Now I'm with my Gurudev and everything's okay. I'm on a magic carpet and I'll just fly wherever I want to go. And I don't have to do anything more. No. We have to do something. We have to cry and cry to Krishna. We have to chant Hare Krishna. And by chanting Hare Krishna, we'll please the sadhu and we'll please Krishna. And everything will come from that. But we have to do something. So we'll stop there. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prapremanandi Padayi Bol. Comments, questions, objections, corrections.
The Prabhupada talks the first purport of Upadeshamita at the end, famous thing, one has to seek Nanda Uttama as a spiritual master. Does he talk about Uttama Adhikari or Uttama Bhagava?
We can't see who's an Uttam Bhagavat, but at least we should seek out someone who's an Uttama Adhikari. We can see something of that. And therefore also it's described in Hari Bhakti Vilas that before we take initiation, we should spend a few years living with that person and watching him closely. And then we can see, because otherwise anyone can put on a good act of being an Uttama Adhikari. And we should always want to associate with the Uttam Bhagavat. But we don't know who that person is. So we have to cry to Krishna. It's not just that we want a guru who's expert in Shastra and expert and doesn't criticize anybody and is expert in worship. No, we want a guru who has love of God, who has Krishna Prema, who can give Krishna Prema. But you can't see that. You can't see what that thing is. So we want to associate with someone who has some adhikar for that and has some at least external qualifications. And we may accept them as our guru. And if we accept them as our guru and they have expertise in Shastra, then they can help us. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, he said that we should have these tests in ISKCON. We should have this, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Bhai Bhav, all the way up to Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhoma. He says that someone who passes a Bhakti Sarvabhoma, they can initiate disciples. And they have some expertise in Shastra. So what does that mean? Does that mean that they're a pure devotee? No. Does it mean they have love of God? No. But it means they have some expertise in Shastra, and because of that, they can give you some guidance. They can tell you what's in Shastra. They can repeat something properly. So we can accept that person as a guru. And that person can give us Shastra, can give us Krishna in that form. Is that okay?
Guruji. Mas Shivana Maharaj told that no problem if your guru is not a Prema Bhakta, but he follows his guru who is a Prema Bhakta, or who is following his spiritual master is a Prema Bhakta, that's alright. So you can get and everything. So it's not that he is not a Prema Bhakta, so he cannot.
It's not that he has to be that thing, but if he's following that, if he's initiated by that, the simple definition of guru is someone who's already gotten mantra, is a Vaishnava, and according to Narada Pancharatra, a Vaishnava is Krishna Mantujija Mukhad Yasha Karnam Prayaticha Tam Vaishnavam Jagat Putam Pravadanti Puravida. That person is a Vaishnava. He can purify the whole world. Who is he, a Vaishnava? He's received Krishna mantra from the mouth of a twice-born guru. And he can also give that because he has that thing. So it's a fact. A guru doesn't have to be a Premi Bhakta. But we want that because Premi Bhakti Yaha Hoiti Abhijavanasa Yati. That Prem Bhakti can destroy all of our ignorance. It's not that we should be complacent, and therefore Prabhupada writes in Upadeshanamrita that we should want to have the topmost guru. We should want that thing, and we shouldn't accept initiation from someone we think is not. It's not that we can say, okay, you don't have to take initiation from someone who's on the topmost platform, therefore go ahead and take from someone on a lower platform. Why should we want that? But according to our qualification, we'll be attracted to a certain thing. We may not have purity of heart to want to associate with the topmost guru. We may not have so much interest in that. We may have interest in some other thing. So that's okay. You take a guru like that, and that's fine. You can still get everything if we follow sincerely. Avidyavasa vidyava guru eva janardana. Whether my guru knows or doesn't know. Margasto vyapya margasto guru eva paramgati. Whether he's situated in the proper platform or not. He's my everything. Because he's giving me mantra. And he's connected in our sampradaya. There's no problem. But we should want. Therefore Prabhupada said we should want to associate with the Uttama Adhikari. We shouldn't be complacent and think that it's okay. And he compared that to just like licking the outside of a bottle of honey. And we want to open the jar up and drink it and taste it. So that thing can be experienced in association with such a devotee. So we should always hanker for that. And that devotee may be different even than our Diksha Guru. There's no harm in that. There's no loss. If we take an initiation, we don't have that kind of faith in it. But we should know, Prabhupada says, we should want to take initiation from a devotee on the topmost platform. But the problem is not with those devotees. The problem is with us. We don't really want that thing so bad. We're complacent. That's what Prabhupada is criticizing in that lecture on Vrindavan. He said if we want to remain a Prakriti Bhakta, if we don't associate with advanced devotees, if we simply want to remain in the lowest stage of devotional service, then we can't make progress. So we have to hanker for that. And how do we get that desire? At least by hearing from Shastra. And by that way, we're associating with Narada Muni, we're associating with Prabhupada, we're associating with Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur and others. And we realize, oh, I want that kind of association. This kind of person exists. By hearing from Shastra like that. And better, if we're very fortunate, we may be able to hear from some Uttam Bhagavat, and it will give us a desire to associate with Uttam Bhagavat. That is a very, very important thing. Prabhupada says that the purpose of our society is to give people association with pure devotees. So we should become pure devotees. But there's different, what is a pure devotee? There's different standards for that. Is that okay? A very big subject. Krishna Krum?
I was just wondering about what you said, how a Kanishtha Adhikari will be. You quoted it from somewhere, I don't know where, that a Kanishtha Adhikari will accept a spiritual master, somebody who is very expert in ceremonies. And I was thinking that also means that as someone advances, as the adhikar becomes deeper from Kanishtha to Madhya to Uttam Adhikar, then the spiritual master also, the person might change because the
guru is one.
Well, yeah.
Guru is one in the sense that Krishna will manifest.
But the personality through whom Krishna manifests to you might also change like that. Because when you are Kanishtha, then you will only be attracted to certain.
Or your vision of your guru may become deeper. You may see, oh, my
same
guru.
Same person, but deeper vision.
Just like Srila Prabhupada, we accept him, we consider him again, Nityasiddha, his ascendant, certainly Uttam Uttam, but Uttam Adhikari. But Prabhupada, he's on that platform, but how many devotees realized it? And certainly he had some Kanishtha disciples, you see, many of them went away, and some of them even rejected Srila Prabhupada. So, there's so much that we can realize of our guru. It's not that initiation is the end. I remember Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj told me that right after I got initiated. He said, that, no, this is just the beginning. Initiation is only the beginning. So it's in the purport here. They say that a Kanishtha Adhikari Guru is one who is simply attached to performing religious ceremonies and worshipping the deity without appreciating other Vaishnavas. He will especially appeal to persons interested in the dry cultivation of knowledge. So Kanishas, they'll be attracted to such a person. He says that a pious materialist may seek shelter at the feet of a Kanishtha Adhikari. But if someone's able to advance a Madhyam qualification, then he becomes attracted to a Vaishnava actively engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness. And when someone's fully mature on the platform of intermediate devotion, they become attracted to the Mahabhagavat level. It depends on the quality of our faith. If we have some people, they don't really have faith that someone can see God, or they can interact with God, that someone can have Krishna prana. I mean, that's like pretty far out. That's pretty inconceivable. And it's okay. Just someone who knows the Shastra, someone who's expert at worshipping, that's a guru. Okay, that's a Kanishtha Adhikari guru. Someone who's preaching, that's a deeper thing. We should have that requires a deeper conviction, requires more faith, deeper faith. So then we may accept a Madhyam guru, someone who's preaching. But it requires so much faith to accept someone who actually can see Krishna. Who has faith that someone can even see Krishna? Such a devotee exists. You can see Krishna and talk with Krishna. So we want to cultivate this faith by through association, through chanting the holy names, and purify our hearts, so we can come to the higher platform and get such association. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki.